We read from Joshua chapter 3 this morning. In Joshua chapter 3, Joshua, the leader of God's people, is talking to the nation of Israel, God's people. And that group of people ranged in age from little babies to those, for the most, to those that were 59 years old. There were only two people that were over 59 years old in that group. One of them was Joshua, and we're not sure exactly how old he was, and the other one was Caleb, who was 85 years old. It tells us a little bit later in the book of Joshua. And I know that's true because they had just spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness because of their sin not to go into the promised land when they first got there. And God said during this 40 years of wandering, everybody 20 years old and older is going to die. And so you do the math. The oldest person there, except for Joshua and Caleb, was 59, and the ages went down from there. And for the past 40 years, God had cared for this people. In fact, for probably two-thirds of the people that were there, and there were 1 million to 1.5 million, but for two-thirds of the people, if the genealogy is typical of our day, for two-thirds of the people, God had cared for them every day of their life. He had led them, he had fed them, he had clothed them, he protected them. And again, as people look back on what he did, I'm sure they said, what a wonder, what a miracle. Two million and a half people directed every day with a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, fed with manna, enough for all 7 days. It only came on 6 days, but on the sixth day, enough for the seventh day as well. Meat when they wanted meat. He sent quail into the camp whenever they got hungry for meat. He gave them water whenever they needed it. Their clothes didn't wear out. Their shoes grew as their feet grew, the Bible tells us. And they were kept and protected by God every day for 40 years. And yet here's Joshua standing up and saying, hey, tomorrow we're going somewhere we've never been before. He said, you had not passed this way before. And tomorrow God will do wonders among you. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was in that crowd, I might want to say to Joshua, hey, Joshua, just a minute. What do you think God's been doing for the past 40 years? I mean, you say he's going to do wonders tomorrow, but what do you think he's been doing for the past 40 years? He led us, he fed us, he clothed us, he protected us. And Joshua would say, hey, you're right. I'm not discounting anything at all that God has done the past 40 years, but tomorrow it's going to get better. He's taken care of us in a good way and led us and fed us and clothed us and protected us the past 40 years. But tomorrow it's going to get better. He's going to split the Jordan River, and we're going to walk through the middle of it on dry ground. We're going into the promised land, that land that he has prepared for us, the land of Canaan, a land that flows with milk and honey. God's going to drive out the people that's in that land that are stronger than you, that are better trained than you, that are better equipped than you, and he's going to drive them out, and you're going to take the land. And you're going to eat crops that you didn't plant. And you're going to drink from wells you didn't dig. And you're going to live in houses that you didn't build. I know God has done some wonders for us the past 40 years. But I can't wait to get to tomorrow, because tomorrow is going to be better. He's going to do wonders among us. 2019 was a wonderful year for our church. Again, I encourage you to just take a minute and read the note that's in the bulletin. And God did some wonderful things. I mean, some marvelous things, some miraculous things for our church and the people of our church in 2019. And we shouldn't be surprised, because God is a God that works wonders. In the book of Psalms, it says, "Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people." And we can look back at 2019 and we can thank God for all the wonderful things that he did for us last year. But I've got some good news for you. Tomorrow it's going to get better. I want to say the same thing that Joshua said. I want to echo what he says. Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I can't wait to see what God is going to do in 2020. But wait a minute. Just a minute. Do you know that today is yesterday's tomorrow? Now, this is the deepest part of my sermon, so pay attention. It's going to be hard for some of you to follow along. Today is yesterday's tomorrow. And God, and Joshua says, tomorrow he's going to do wonders among you. Hey, I think that God may do some wonders among us today. Today. Maybe he'll do a wonder among us today and save somebody. Do you know what's a wonder every time somebody gets saved? It's a wonder when I got saved. It's a wonder when you got saved. That's why the book of Hebrews calls our salvation so great a salvation. We had turned against God. We chose to sin. Some of us tried to work our way back to God, and the Bible says that all our righteousnesses, all the good things that we could do that we could present to God and say, hey, look how good I am, the Bible says in his sight we're as filthy rags. And what we deserved because of our sin was to be separated from God and go and spend an eternity in hell. But the good news of the gospel is that while we were yet sinners, while we were in our sin, God loved us. And God loved us enough that he sent his son. He sent his son into the world. He lived among us for 33 some years. And then God allowed mankind to take him and nail him to a cross. And on the cross, God put on his son, his perfect, sinless son. God put on his son all of my sin. And all of your sin, and all the sin of all mankind, every person that's ever lived from the beginning of the world until the world ends, Jesus bore the sin of every person. And on Calvary's cross, he paid for that sin. He paid for it. He paid for it in full. And then, because God loved us, he sent the Holy Spirit to convict us of our sin and to woo us to the Savior. And the Bible promises us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If we call upon his name and say, I'm a sinner, I deserve to be separated from you, but I believe that you love me and you sent Jesus to die for me. And right now, Jesus, I believe that and I'm receiving that and I'm asking you to be my Savior. The Bible says that God will make us one of his children. He'll dress us in the righteousness of Christ. He'll not only wash away all of our sin, but he'll dress us in the righteousness of his perfect son. And he'll reserve for us a home in heaven. We sing that song. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing. When in his beauty I see the great king, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loved me. Maybe he'll do a wonder today and save somebody, because today is yesterday's tomorrow. Maybe he'll do a wonder today and use somebody. You know, it's a wonder that God uses man. I mean, just think about it. All of nature is in his control. The angels are at his beck and call. He is an omnipotent, all-powerful God. He is an omniscient, all-knowing God. He is an omnipresent. He's present everywhere. And God, in his omnipotence and in his omniscience and in his... I don't know what the word is for that next one, but you know where I'm going. But God could do everything himself. He could have nature do it. He could have the angels do it. I mean, by his word, he created everything that we see. He holds, and the things we can't see. I mean, we can't see far into space. We can't see microscopic things with our naked eye. But everything around us God made. He's that powerful. He could do it himself. I mean, but God chose to use mankind to do his work. It's a wonder that he does. But maybe he'll work a wonder today and use us. Use us as we teach and use us as we preach and as we sing and as we play and as we witness and as we help and are an encouragement to others. Just think about it. The Creator using the created. The strong using the weak. The immortal using the mortal. The perfect using the imperfect. What a wonder. What a wonder. Number three, maybe He'll work a wonder today and heal another relationship that's broken. You know, we still have rifts in relationships that are as wide as the Grand Canyon. We still have people that don't like one another. We still have people that say, well, I can tolerate them, but they're not doing a very good job of doing that. We still have rifts. I want to remind you this morning that we as God's children are commanded to love one another. Our love for one another is a test of our salvation. It says in 1 John 2:9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even unto now. Our love for one another is a test not only of our salvation, but it's a test of our discipleship. In John 13:35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And if you're not loving others, you're either not saved. And again, I don't mean to offend anybody, but I'm telling you the truth this morning. If you're not loving one another, if there's a rift between you and somebody else, and you haven't worked to fix it, you're either not saved or you have decided that you're not going to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, because He says, if you're my disciple, you're going to love one another. I know. I've heard people say, I've talked to them. I've talked to a couple people this week. I cannot love them. And I said, back to one of them anyway, look, don't say you can't, say you won't. Because my Bible says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And that person said, well, preacher, you don't know what they did to me. And I said, I don't need to know what they did to you. I know that Jesus Christ forgave you. Amen. And with the Holy Spirit's help, you can forgive that person that's done you wrong. And so, as we start the new year, maybe God will work a wonder. And maybe He'll get a hold of us and those relationships in our life that are strained or broken, that don't exist, that should exist. Maybe the Holy Spirit will work a wonder in our life and heal those relationships. I got to hurry. Number four. Maybe He'll work a wonder today and show us again He is the great physician. There's still cancer in our church. There's still problem pregnancies in our church. There's still ailments in our church. I want to remind you this morning, as God proved to us last year, He still is the great physician. He still is in charge. Every sickness, every disease, every germ, every little thing that causes disease is under the command of Almighty God. And yes, I know He uses doctors and He uses operations and He uses procedures and all that stuff. And we're grateful to God for all the things that He's let mankind discover and use to improve our health. But we still look to Him as the great physician. If you have a doctor, He's your assistant doctor, as Bud reminded us of this year. Our doctor, our primary physician, as the insurance company says, is not His name is not on our insurance card. His name is in this book, and we look to Him for healing. And maybe He'll do a wonder. Maybe He'll do a wonder. And remind us again that He's still the great physician. And then quickly, number five, maybe He'll do a wonder and direct us and feed us and clothe us and protect us. In actuality, just like He did for the Israelites, He does that for His children every day. And I know people say, now, just a minute, preacher, I got a job and I make money and I buy my food and I buy my clothes. I said, just a minute. Just a minute. Who gave you that job? Who gave you the strength to work that job? Who protects you in that job? Who could take that job away from you in a second? We better not get too proud. We better remember who the blessings of God come from. They come from Him. And just, I know people have a hard time thinking about this, but here's how I think about it. Just as literally as God clothed and fed and protected and led his people as they went through the wilderness, so our God does the same thing today. And he's done it so long that oftentimes we take it for granted. We need to remember that every good thing cometh down from a Father above, in whom there is no variableness. He will not change. He has not changed. And he still leads us and feeds us and clothes us and protects us. It's still a wonder. Should be. And so let me ask you today, as I close, will you let God work a wonder in your life today? If you're here today and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, would you let him save you? He wants to. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He wants everybody to come to the cross. He wants everybody to get under the blood. He wants to forgive the sins of every person, but he won't force it on us. He waits for us to decide to come to him. And the Bible says if we come, he'll cast nobody out. He'll take you. He'll take you. I'm glad he took me just like I was. He'll take you just like you are. Would you let him work a wonder today if you're not saved? Would you let him work a wonder today and use you? He has a plan for your life. We talked about it in Sunday school this morning. Saul, God had a plan for Saul's life. And when Jesus met him on the road to Damascus, he said, Saul, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. I've been trying to tell you all along, I want you to do something for me. And what you're doing for me now is not what I want you to do. I want you to, instead of persecuting Christians, I want you to proclaim their Christ. Would you let him use you? Again, he won't do it. He won't do it against your will. But if you come to him and say, here I am, Lord, use me. Use me. He will. What a wonder. What a wonder. Would you let him work a wonder and heal a relationship? You say, preacher, I can't do it on my own. I know you can't. God doesn't expect you to do it on your own. But you have something greater within you. You have somebody greater within you than he that is in the world. And the Holy Spirit of God, will help you heal that broken relationship in your life. Would you let him work a wonder? Joshua says, yes, God's done some wonderful things for us the past 40 years, but I can't wait for tomorrow because it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you're a wonder-working God. And we've seen some of those wonders last year. But Father, we know you haven't changed. You say in the book of Malachi, I'm the Lord, I change not. Jesus doesn't change. It says in the book of Hebrews, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You don't change. You're still a wonder-working God. And Father, you know that we still need to see some wonders today. I pray that we get out of the way and that we would let you work a wonder. I pray for those that are here that don't know Christ, that they quit being so stubborn and they get themselves out of the way and they would come to the cross and receive Jesus as their Savior. I pray, Father, that you would use us. What a wonder that you use us, but use us. And then, Father, I pray that you would work in our life and that the Holy Spirit would help us heal those relationships that are broken in our life. And I pray right now, Holy Spirit, that you'll convict us. You'll just prick us. You'll prick us right now with those relationships in our life that are broken, that need to be healed. And so, Father, we give this invitation to you. Holy Spirit, speak to people that are here. If they need to make a decision this morning, help them to make that decision. If they need to be saved, they can come to see me and I'll have somebody take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. If they need to use the altar, help them to do that. But help us to be obedient to the Holy Spirit as he leads. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.